Rick Dhaliwal. Rick Dhaliwal.
It's time for Rick Dhaliwal.
Rick Dhaliwal.
It's time for Rick Dhaliwal.
Rick Dhaliwal.
It's time for Rick Dhaliwal.
Rick Dhaliwal.
It's time for Dhali.
Rick Dhaliwal.
It's time for Rick Dhaliwal.
Rick Dhaliwal.
It's time for Dhali.
Rick Dhaliwal.
It's time for Rick Dhaliwal.
Rick Dhaliwal.
8:02 on a Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. Halford Brough for the morning is brought to you by the Dhalari family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dhalari difference today by visiting your nearest Dhalari Acura dealer. Today, we are in hour three of the program. Hour three is brought to you by Campbell & Pound Real Estate Appraisers. Trust the expertise of Campbell & Pound. Visit them on the internet at campbell-pound.com today.
We are coming to you live from the Kintech studio. Kintech, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Have you got sore feet? What are you waiting for?
I do have sore feet, and I'm waiting for Kintech.
Well, just go. Like, what are you waiting for?
Well, they're not open yet.
Oh, well, they're not going to visit your house.
I know, and I take naps during the day. Anyway, I'm getting off topic here. You are listening to the Halford & Brough Show.
How are we going to make this happen?
Yeah, dang it. You are listening to the Halford & Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Friendly reminder that we are hosting a watch party. That's right. Sunday, 2 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in the heart of Greekton, Kitsilano. West Broadway. Go check them out, hollywoodtheater.ca. I will remind you all, I did this morning as well, that as this thing grows in popularity and more people show up, we may get to a point where ticket holders get priority access. You can get tickets. They're easy to get. And what's more, they're free. They cost $0. Go to hollywoodtheater.ca. There's a show pass link. You can get them. You can sign up for them. I don't know. I guess our next guest can't be in attendance because he'll be busy working. They got a post-game show on Sunday. Joining us now, Rick Dhaliwal here on the Halford & Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. What up, Rick?
Gentlemen, let's go. Let's go. It's Friday.
I'm just rattled because you come in so hot. Okay, Rick, Thatcher Demko. We've heard some reports that he might be out for the playoffs. We've heard other reports that say he might be back for the next round. Other reports that say he might be ready for the Western Conference Final. What are you hearing?
Boy, oh boy! So you are correct, Jason. It's all over the map. I have to be honest with you. You are correct. It is all. You know, I was talking to Elliot Freeman last night. This is no different than the Nylander injury in Toronto. Same thing. They had Nylander with 500 different injuries and 500 different time frames. So the report last night that Demko was done for the playoffs. I certainly checked last night and double checked this morning. I'm still being told these week to week, talked to numerous people last night and this morning, no one is saying he's done for the playoffs. We can only report what we are hearing at a certain time. And certainly things change hourly, but still hearing week to week, it's all, you can only say, Jason, what you're hearing and what you're being told. The Canucks could have easily announced he was done for the year because they've had ample time, to diagnose what he's got and, it's been let's say it's been almost a week, and they've had ample time to come out and say, hey, look, he's done for the year. Instead, they said week to week. It is a fluid situation. As with all injuries, things change daily and weekly. A lot of it is wait and see. So if he is done for the season, I find it interesting. Why would they take him to Nashville? But yesterday morning when I checked on Demko, a lot of people were really positive that he did travel and that he can walk. The fact he can travel and walk is a good sign. We'll see what the Canucks say this morning. Obviously, I think that Tocchet will be asked about it. Clearly, he's not going to play in the Nashville series, but there are people who think he could play late second round, early third round. People ask if Demko needs surgery. I'm told no. There's been no medical procedures on him, so far since the injury in Game 1. Innocent-looking play with 48 seconds left in Game 1. Some are calling it a fluke injury, and the fluke the way it happened, and fluke is what he ended up with. So there you go. It is, like you said, Jason, all over the map, no question. Let's see what the Canucks say this morning, but we've heard everything from short-term, mid-term to long-term. It has certainly been an interesting five, 6 days since he got hurt.
Is it in any way related to the injury that kept him out in the latter stages of the regular season?
Well, since it is the same knee, you got to think. And there's a lot of questions right now. Was he 100% healed from the first knee injury that kept him out 5 weeks? Is he injury prone now? Did they overplay him in February? Canucks played 13 games in 24 days, 8 on the road, and Demko played 11 of those, including one in Chicago, which no one can figure out why would you play against Chicago. Also, that month, they went to the All-Star game in Toronto, and the day after, departed for a game in Carolina. A lot of people are saying that, you know, this isn't the exact same injury, that it is the same knee, but not the exact same injury that the night he got hurt, the Saturday night against Winnipeg. So, but you talk to goalie people, and goalie people say, how can it not be related? Like goalie coaches will say to you, like you talk to goalie coaches, and they say, well, how can he be injure a knee 5 weeks, he's out, and then he re-injures the same knee? How could it not? I mean, that can't be a coincidence, can it?
No.
You know, I mean, so the big question right now, and there's a lot of them, did they overplay him? You know, was he 100%? So these are the things that everyone wants to know. And the Canucks aren't going to come out and say all this stuff in the middle of a playoff series. But you're going to have to wait till the end of the regular season. The end of the playoffs, whenever the playoffs end. And then the Canucks can give a detailed description of what happened to Demko. I don't think you're going to get it in the middle of a playoff series. But here's another one for you. Knowing your starting goaltender just had back-to-back knee injuries, the importance of a solid backup is front and center for the Canucks when it comes to next season. You can't cheap out in the backup position. You can't have a goalie under $1 million. They will attempt to re-sign Casey DeSmith, and that's the right call. We know that DeSmith and Demko, they have a good friendship, and they say they share the same agent, but it makes sense to bring them back. But it really makes you think about how they got to think going forward next year, knowing Demko, whether he's out, whether he's going to come back. It makes you think that coming off of back-to-back knee injuries, your starting goaltender, boy, you better have a good veteran guy in there next year.
My ears perked up a little bit the other day when Rick Tocchet name-dropped Nikita Zadorov as one of the leaders on the team and one of the guys that you love having in the room when you're facing a little bit of adversity, because he's a confident guy. He's a funny guy, and he keeps things light. I think most Canucks fans have been pretty impressed with Nikita Zadorov's play in these first two games. Big, physical. He's thrown some really big hits. What do you think the plan for Nikita Zadorov is in Vancouver? Can the Canucks afford to re-sign this guy?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. And the other problem the Canucks have, Myers, UFA, Hronek's RFA asking for a huge raise, Ian Cole, who they really like and has got the most playoff experience for the Canucks by a long shot, he's a UFA. So really, they've got, when this season's over, they got some major decisions to make. First of all, on Zadorov, the big hits, the defending teammates scored in Game 2. He's such a big presence on the ice. When you elevate your game in the playoffs and you're a UFA, it's going to make your agent really happy. Pro scouts are, you know, obviously watching these and watching what UFAs are doing in the good in the playoffs. After Zadorov scored in Game 2, you saw Dan Milstein tweeting the money sign again. He does that for a reason. There's no question. He does it for a reason. Milstein's going to get his client paid. He should fetch $5 million plus on the market, whether it's in Vancouver or elsewhere, Jason. That's got to be determined. He's also, I'm going to tell you right now, Milstein is looking for a big term. And we're not talking 3 or 4 years. He's looking for term. He's in a good spot, the agent, because there's going to be numerous teams after Zadorov. I think I heard you guys mention Toronto earlier this week. Well, their GM loves not only Zadorov, but he loves Chris Tanev. He had both of them in Calgary. I still maintain that if Zadorov was a right shot, he'd have been signed by now by the Canucks. No question in my mind. And you mentioned Tocchet raving about Zadorov this week. It is going to be interesting to see Tocchet's reaction if Zadorov leaves and the Canucks can't, for whatever reason, afford him. Tocchet is a huge reason why the Canucks built the size on the blue line the way they did. And when I know you guys get guests on, we get guests on our show one of the first things a lot of our hockey guests say to us is love the Canucks blue line, love the size on the blue line. That's the blue line you want size-wise, aggressiveness-wise in the playoffs. So it's going to be really interesting with Myers, Cole, and Zadorov UFAs, and then you got the headache with Hronek. And I heard you guys talking about Hronek earlier this week, and I think, Bruff, you said he could be traded if he can't come to terms on a new deal, and I can't agree with you more. Sometimes players will price themselves out of a market. Bo Horvat did that in Vancouver. We know what happened there. If he's looking for $8 million and the Canucks were okay with $8 million, he'd have been signed by now. I just don't see a world where the Canucks are going to give this guy $8 million. So Zadorov is a guy I'm seeing a lot on Twitter. You know, re-sign him, re-sign him, re-sign him. I think a lot of fans would like to see that, but it's just going to be a whole lot harder than people imagine.
I was watching the Hurricanes game yesterday, and they were talking about all the decisions that Carolina has to make on their blue line. And one of the announcers, now I'm not endorsing this, but he said it's really going to be the season of free agent defensemen, or the off season of free agent defensemen. And he brought up the name Jalen Chatfield, and one of the announcers, I can't remember who it was, said, you know, that guy, a right shot defenseman, he might be a $3 or $4 million player. And I kind of like, what? Jalen Chatfield, but, you know, like right shot defenseman that can that played pretty well for Carolina. I don't know if he's going to stick with the Hurricanes, but I could see him getting a decent contract. What have you heard about Chatfield?
Oh, lots, because his agent, he tried to get a deal done with Carolina, and they just couldn't get the numbers to work. And that's a guy, if the Canucks are stuck, and let's say you sign Zadorov, and now you need help on the right side. That's a guy like Jalen Chatfield went in there. You got to remember, Ethan Bear didn't work with Rob Brind'Amour, but for some reason, Jalen Chatfield had no problem getting ice under Rob Brind'Amour. And we had Rob Brind'Amour on the show earlier this season. He raved about Chatfield. Like, he just said, look, he's a big guy, he can skate, right shot, and he's very dedicated in the offseason. I think, Jason, you make a really good point. I think that guy, if the Canucks lose Myers, I wouldn't be surprised if they go and look at a guy like that at all. And you're right, he's not going to cost you $5, $6 million, but he's going to cost you $2 to $3, $3.5 million for sure. And, he most likely is going to hit the free agent market, and I think he'll do just fine on that market.
This is a bit of a tough question to ask, but what do you think management and ownership is thinking when they watch Elias Pettersson play right now, given how much term and money they've committed to this guy, and he appears to be having trouble with the pressure of the playoffs?
Yeah, the only thing I'll say is you get the money he got to be a difference maker, and then you're in a Canadian market, and then you sign the big contract, and then the expectations go up, and he knows that. He knows the day he signed that deal, he knew expectations were going to go through the roof. He knew that. But you just be the difference maker. That's all. He's got, what, one goal in his last 15 games. I know he had attempted shots. None got through. He missed the empty net with 3 seconds left. That could have changed the face of the game. Look, he knows it. The Canucks know it. The coaching staff knows it. He's got to be a difference maker. And, you know, people ask me if Pettersson's injured. I wouldn't say, per se, he's got one injury that is so blatantly obvious, but he may have bumps and bruises like all the other players have after 82-game schedule. Like, I mean, if they finish this series or whatever, how far they go. And, you know, after every series, they announce all the guys that were injured, and then there's a laundry list of 6, 7, 8, 9 guys that are banged up, and then you hear about it. Is he injured? I haven't been told he's injured. But is he 100%? Is Brock Besser 100%? He didn't go to Winnipeg for the final regular season game. You know, Hronek, some people think, is hurt. There's a lot of guys playing banged up. I'm not hearing he's got, like, a designated name injury, but it would it surprise me if he's banged up? No, it wouldn't. But the injury aside, if you're out there, you're playing, the difference maker, just be that difference maker. That's the reason you got 11.6. But yeah, I think management probably wants more from him. I think the coaching staff does. And let's be honest, you can't advance in the playoffs without your best players being the best players night in and night out. But before you, you know, look, he's not the only one, Jason. Miller, Besser, Hoglander, Garland, no goals. I mean, that's got to change. They've got one goal from their top six, and that's from Pia Suter, and that was a deflection from a Quinn Hughes shot. So, look, he's not the only one, but he's the most high-profile one because you just got the contract. There's a lot of people right now, the expectations, but he's the guy. I mean, but there's others, Miller, Besser, Hoglander, Garland. If you would have told me after two games at home all those guys would have zero goals, I'd have a tough time believing that.
All right, Rick. Enjoy the weekend. It's going to be. I feel like we
kind of get. How can you enjoy this weekend with this stupid rain?
I can enjoy it by watching two playoff hockey games.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know what? I feel like we're getting ripped off, though, because, like, on Monday, will we even talk about the Friday game? Because there's the game on Sunday. So we kind of get screwed out of a game.
When I first saw the schedule for the series come out, I did not like the Friday Sunday. Mm-hmm. Like,
I demand to have my opinion heard on every game.
That's right.
Yes, I agree.
I'll have to take Twitter or something.
Let me get this in.
Yep.
Donnie Dolly postgame tonight. Check. Let's go. Bye.
See you, Rick. Thanks, buddy. That's Rick Dollywall yelling at us on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. We're going to do What We Learns and Ask Us Anything's coming up. I'm going to start because there's something that just came down about 5 or 6 hours ago. It's way off the board, but I think it's important. Okay? And it is soccer, but it's not really just about soccer. So... Sweden, the Swedish Football Association, and the top leagues in Sweden have made the decision to not use VAR.
Ooh.
Yeah. They have made a decision after numerous clubs voiced their opposition to the technology to not implement it moving forward. So they have the technology. They have the cameras and the staff and the replay crew and the booths. They have everything you need to do VAR. They're just not going to do VAR.
Mm-hmm.
This is very interesting because the Swedish league, for those that are unaware of how the Allsvenskan works, that's the Swedish football top flight. Oh, all the leagues, actually. There's a requirement that all the teams have to be at least 51% owned by the fans.
So okay.
Like that's sort of Green Bay Packers-ish type thing. Anyway, so there's a real voice of the people in that league and in that federation.
Bunch of commies.
Right?
Socialism.
God. Look at Sweden. Looks like a nightmare there.
Well, this took a turn. I figured it was going to. Anyway, I think it's fascinating because someone is now, like, and they say what you know, it's like, oh, the Swedish soccer league, who cares? It's a statement that someone acknowledges that the technology is out there. They can use it. They can implement it, and they're choosing not to do it. I don't know if this will work, because the first controversial call that they have, people are going to say, well, we should be reviewing this. But it's a super interesting decision, because I've always said, you can't unring the bell, and you can't put the genie back in the bottle. Once it's out, it's out. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to do it. Like, and good on them, because these games are televised. And the one thing I've always also said is that it's really hard to put your officials in a situation, a compromised situation, where they're making a call, and one of my favorite phrases, in real time, and they're left to their own eyes and devices, and you've got a camera that can very clearly show if they got the call right or wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's going to look like either, but I think it's a pretty bold decision to say, you know what, we can do VAR, we're just choosing not to do it.
Yeah, and imagine if they were to take instant replay out of hockey now.
It'd be a fascinating scenario. I don't know what it would look like, but it would be fascinating.
But there is the technology, and there's so many cameras on the game now, and the broadcast would almost be obligated to go back and look at those plays. It's not like, I mean, we were talking about the passing of Bob Cole earlier today. When I was going back and watching some of his old calls, you know, going back into the 80s and even the early 90s, like the quality of the picture on the broadcast, it's not there, right?
It's a lot different.
So remember that controversial play in the Flames Lightning game in the Stanley Cup final where the Flames were convinced they had scored? Was that it?
Yep.
Game six. Yeah. Right. And that would have like won the cup, right?
Yeah.
Was that a Marty Jelinek goal?
That's right.
Okay. how much better do you think the technology would be now for that? Would we have a, like, because that's always been like, well, we'll never know for sure. Do you think we'd know for sure now?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. I would say so. And I would say that you would, in a very weird and twisted way, have gotten it right, but you would have eliminated the lore and the folklore of it, mm-hmm. right? Like, you remember that game because of that non-call,
yeah.
because of that wrong call.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something, I don't want to say romantic about it, but it is baked into old, you know, the Marty McSorley stick penalty. I mean, that's a little bit different.
But that's different. But
that's been that's knocked out of the game now. You don't do that. You bring out the ruler,
mm-hmm.
the big stupid ruler on the bench. But all those
they should.
The missed high stick, Gretzky high stick on Gilmore. Like all those things, they do add an element of drama
mm-hmm.
that maybe it isn't the right way to do it because you're missing technically what you should be getting right on the ice in this instance. But I remember talking to
it is a question of how far you should you go to get everything right, because, you know,
no, it's fair.
Like, are you going to start reviewing every offside call, even ones that don't lead to a goal? Because if you believe in that whole notion of, like, you know, a butterfly flaps its wings on the other side of the world and, you know, whatever. I don't know what the saying is. I don't want a George W. Bush myself.
The butterfly effect.
But yeah, that sort of thing, right? Yeah. Like, you could say, like, well, you know, if you go back 10 steps after that missed offside call, like mm-hmm. if that had been called offside, then the game wouldn't have gone like
exactly.
it would have, right? Like, so how far do we really want to go here with replay? And I think in some cases it's gone too far, but I also understand that, and this was always Gary Bettman's, like, you say what you will about Gary Bettman, he's actually, except in the case of Arizona hockey, he's pretty good at predicting the future.
Yes.
He was like, all right, I'm going to go along with this, but I'm telling you, there will be consequences for this.
Unintended consequences, too. Stuff you didn't expect, stuff you didn't foresee, except for Gary Bettman. Except in Arizona. Okay, we've got Ask Us Anythings and What We Learn's coming up, but Ask Us Anythings, there's a treat for the special winner. If you put in the best Ask Us Anything, Dunbar Lumber text line is 650-650, you will be entered into the grand prize contest for a $100 gift card to AJ's Pizza on East Broadway. It is the best pizza in the province. I stand by that. No questions asked. If you want to win $100 to try that pizza, send and Ask Us Anything and hashtag it AUA. Dunbar Lumber text line is 650-650. Put a pizza emoji into your text and you could win a $100 gift card to AJ's Pizza on East Broadway. Finally, before we go to break, I need to tell you that all playoff coverage on Sportsnet 650 is brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Get your keys to an all-star collection of Kubota products at one of their six locations across BC this spring. Visit DLEAMC.com for more. Half hour, the last one coming up. You're listening to the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Vic Nizar. Have your say and join me on the People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets. Weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Kelowna, California. West Coast.
Coast. Yeah. Kelowna, baby. Best place in the world right here.
Kelowna phone, yeah. Kelowna phone, yeah. Kelowna phone, yeah. Phone, yeah. Kelowna phone, yeah.
Hey, 8:31 on a Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. Halford and Brough of the Morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. We are in hour three of the program. It is What We Learned and Ask Us Anything time. This time is brought to you by Campbell & Pound Real Estate Appraisers. Trust the expertise of Campbell & Pound. Visit them on the internet at campbell-pound.com today. I think we should fire up the dot matrix. Print out some humanoid submissions for What We Learned. What We Learned, as always, is brought to you by Get Fire Plan. Protect what matters most with comprehensive fire safety plans, monthly audits, and risk mitigation at $200 off. Visit them at getfireplan.com.
Oh, my God! We're having a fire!
Plan. The winner of the $100 gift card to AJ's Pizza on East Broadway. Try AJ's traditional New York pizza or sink into their famous Detroit pizza only at AJ's Pizza. Order online at AJ's.pizza. The winner is Jason.
Congratulations to Dylan. We mentioned his Ask Us Anything earlier in the show and used it for content. And we didn't credit him at the time, so we decided now we'll credit him with a $100 gift card, too. Mm-hmm. He asked, with all the hockey cliches that are being said, what are your favorite and or least favorite hockey cliches? So for tonight, I said one that is relevant and very true is you got to battle for every inch of the ice. And that's what the Canucks are hopefully going to do as a way to open up some passing lanes and shooting lanes for themselves. I'm not saying they're going to be out there like cross-checking open the shooting lanes, right. But you know, you do have to battle for that ice, and that is something that Rick Tocchet wants them to do, because if it's a Canuck in a shooting lane as opposed to a Predator, the Canuck can, you know, move out of the way at the last minute.
It's true. Mm-hmm. My favorite cliche, because it's playoff time, I have a playoff specific one. It's and we all know the fourth win is the hardest one to get. It's like, you know, just putting them.
Do you think that's true though?
No.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, then it's your least favorite.
No, it's my most favorite because everyone says it.
Oh, okay.
Even though they don't mean it. That's the yeah. beauty of the cliche. You just throw it out.
We're up 3-0, and the other team has given up. But this one will be the hardest one to get.
You know what the hardest one to get is?
Figuratively quit already.
The hardest one to win is all of them. They're
yeah,
all the hardest
that's
the one
thing.
To win.
Yeah. But
none of them are easy.
But,
they're all hard.
But
I wonder what the actual hardest one is.
Statistically?
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody
game three.
I think it's the fourth one. The fourth win is the hardest one to get.
Wouldn't it be game 7? I guess if there were a game 7, just based on
game 7 is
and,
game 7 is tough. But as right. we all know, the fourth win is the hardest one to get.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All
Thank
right.
You.
Anyway, so congrats to Dylan. I don't know if you can use the gift card on Sunday. Because AJ will be
that would be
pizza.
Funny though.
Yeah, yeah. You know what?
I'll take 100 Detroit Ronnies, please.
You know what? I'm going to make a ruling. Don't bring the gift card on Sunday. Go to the restaurant and use it.
What we learned from Chris and Duncan: Tocchet has given the green light for Big Z and Hronek to use a bazooka instead of rubber bands from the point. Yeah, Tocchet said yesterday, we're just going to tee it up, and if the Preds want to block those shots, at least make them hurt.
I'm a big fan of like just let her rip. That's a great philosophy for me.
I don't know, man.
I do.
I don't know.
Yeah, I do.
Like, I can see the first goal, the Canucks, like, Hronek tees it up. It bounces off a Pred shin pad, and it's breakaway the other way.
Okay, but the other thing, you know what? Eventually, I hate saying it. This sounds really gallows, but someone's going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's going to suffer injury. You can't block that many shots with us.
Tocchet's like Homer trying to make a meal for Mr. Burns. Every strategy he tries catches on fire. That's a tee it up. Bounce goes the other way, scores.
I just think that there is an element of attrition that comes with this. Mm-hmm. That you know, you're just going to have to stick with it and wear them down. Like yep. If you want to lay in front of 100 mile an hour frozen vulcanized rubber over and over and over again.
I do.
You know what's exactly going to happen tonight? The Canucks aren't going to have any zone time. The Preds will like take over possession wise.
Okay,
we won't even talk about it. We haven't even like. We just assume that the Canucks are going to be in the Preds' end all night, like in game two. If I'm the Preds, I actually want to have a little more possession in the Canucks' end as opposed to, you know, being in this position where you're getting 90 shot attempts against.
Great point. Question, do they have the guys to do it?
I think so, yeah.
They don't strike me as being – like when Gazdik was brought up a good point, they seem very opportunistic.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can kind of – I'm not calling it playing possum or anything, but when they get the opportunity to pounce or to strike, they do seem very adept at taking advantage of those
spots. I think
spots.
You have to consider that the Preds have been either tied or leading for a lot of these series.
That's fair.
So there are score effects that are kicking in. You know, the Canucks needed to come back in the third period to win game one, and they weren't able to come back to win game two. So if the Canucks were to score tonight, maybe score effects would kick in the other way.
First goal
is going to be huge.
There's a cliche. First 10 minutes are going to be
like
huge.
That.
Whoever scores
I think
first
all
goal.
The goals are going
to
be huge.
Do you remember there was that reporter that would always show up to the Stanley Cup final and ask the coach, like, how important are the first 10 minutes? And the coach would be like, pretty important.
Like, yes.
Also the 10 minutes after that and the 10 minutes after that.
Like I told you last game, it's important.
Yeah. Quentin in Coquitlam, ask us anything. What was the worst pick or the biggest reach in last night's NFL draft, and why was it Michael Penix Jr. to the Falcons? It's hard not to say anything other than the Penix was the story of the first round, the Penix pick and the ramifications.
What a way that's turned out for us. I didn't think we'd get to talk about a Washington Husky quarterback as much as we did this year.
No, it was, I mean, it's what, like Michael Penix Jr., aside from his...
A-Dog doesn't even laugh at the name anymore.
Yeah,
he's so used to it.
Well, I did find it funny when they had the sign behind him when he was picked. And it said the pick is in, but part of the P was covered up.
Which part of the P?
So the image of Penix getting drafted was hysterical. It really was funny.
But I'm gonna
they did not plan that well.
I'm still trying to figure out the J.J. McCarthy thing because I'm looking at him and I'm like, it felt like the majority of his collegiate career involved being on a team that ran the ball really well, played defense really well, and he just kind of handed it to some. Like, don't get me wrong, he made throws and everything. You look at his numbers, and they don't exactly jump off the page at Michigan. I mean, that's a run-heavy program, run-heavy team.
I don't make any pronouncements about the quality of a quarterback pick because we've seen Kent miss badly. We've seen guys that barely got any mention turn into incredible quarterbacks.
The greatest quarterback of all time.
I just think the college programs that they're in are so different.
Yeah.
You know, and the teams that they end up going to are so different. The situations, you know, Tom Brady goes to the Patriots and it's a perfect situation for him, but nobody was talking too much about Tom Brady when he was drafted out of Michigan.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, you saw him play a lot, McCarthy. Mm-hmm. We watched him play a bunch on their run to the national title game. I watched Michigan, and they ran the ball. Like, it's more like I just don't even know, like, what – I know there's tape, and there's combines, and there's workouts and everything else, but for me, it was the same – and I've been jokingly referring to him as Zach Wilson 2.0.
Yeah.
But I remember the year where Zach Wilson elevated all the way – to number two, and I'm getting those same vibes where it's like everyone just kind of kept talking themselves into how good the guy was going to be without there being any real proof of concept that he could be that good.
Right.
That's where I'm coming from.
Is this because you got called out by the listener in the inbox? Like, oh, did you eat a lot of tape on this guy calling him a bust?
No, I try not to pay attention to the listeners.
Yeah, but you fail.
Yeah.
Calling into Wasson, what we learned, I learned that Casey DeSmith has a passion for disc golf. So much so that he's got an endorsement with Prodigy Discs. Maybe to feel more comfortable in net for the Canucks, he should have a six-pack and a doobie in net with him. That one also smoking. Coming in from Ian McCletchy.
Yeah, smoking doobies.
Big Rolfer, is he?
A doobie?
McCletch would always refer to...
marijuana?
No,
call it a doobie.
Yeah, but or...
smoking doobies with my brothers.
How many pots have you smoketh? He was always like doing like... the way that your parents, but if you grew up in the 70s or 80s, would refer to, like, the weed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He just had a real sort of dad vibe when it came to it.
You guys out there smoking doobies?
He's like, you guys are on the grass. I can tell.
Anyway. Casey DeSmith, by the way, does have a passion for disc golf.
And I did not know this.
There's a story in the Province newspaper about him dragging Carson Soucy out to the Queen Elizabeth
disc golf. That's the mecca of disc golf.
Well, Casey said it was a little bit short.
Someone is staring in our window
right
now. What was that all about? That
was really Casey DeSmith.
You don't need to mention that on the air.
Wow, it was super ominous. I've never seen that before. That was really freaky.
Was it like a ghost or
something? Yeah, kind of. Just like a dead-eyed stare.
I am not an animal.
Not smiling, not waving, just
you guys are
staring.
In your aquarium. You got to be entertaining.
Okay, that freaked me out, man.
Okay, back
anyway,
to the disc golf.
Back to the disc golf, yeah.
What I want to actually hear from the listeners. Where are the best disc golf courses
couple things
in Greater Vancouver? I've played the one on Grouse Mountain and found it quite tough. It's long.
Did you rank that above the Queenie?
Oh yeah, I mean it's way longer and it's way harder. There's one in Whistler that's fun but quite difficult because they
like you're a veteran of the circuit here.
I used to play a little bit.
There's one in South Delta.
Is there
Windskill and Tawasin?
Couple things here. One, and someone pointed out, if you want to fit in, don't call it frisbee golf. That's
Rolf.
No, it's disc golf.
You have to call it disc golf. Now, I got always my favorite anecdote about this. I got a buddy who is good friends with a disc golf enthusiast to the point where he refers to disc golf and ball golf. So if you ask him about golf, he'll ask you for the differential. He's like, wait, are we talking disc golf or ball golf?
Right.
And then he calls it ball golf. If you've never been in a conversation with someone that calls it ball golf, let me tell you, it will throw you for a loop.
You're like, I want to go play some ball golf.
No, it's not like a yokel.
That's like that's like someone goes like, you watching the hockey game tonight? Ice or field?
Yeah.
That's exactly it. And you're like, you're joking,
right?
Ice? Like,
I don't care.
I am. Yeah.
Here's an ask us anything.
Maybe one of these days we could drive out to a field, crank up some tunes, smoke a few Mac and Nudos, maybe even toss a disc around.
Ask us anything.
Buddy,
I had to get that in there. I had to get that
Laddie.
In there.
You're on fire today.
Mike, do you notice how often Jason cuts you off? Sometimes he needs to be cut off.
Is
he needs to be cut off.
Is that where you're going with this?
Yeah. Well, I let you finish that last part.
Thank you. That was nice. We've gotten better. Better is not the right word. We've tried to work.
Are you sure, though?
We've tried to work.
But
on
I don't think you. But I don't think we have.
You know what we've actually gotten good
but
at?
But you know what I think?
Is I stopped talking when you cut me off.
Mm.
So I know I can hear it coming.
Right.
And okay. I know to stop talking.
Uh-huh.
So that we can have that clever cadence back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Sometimes Mike finishes my sentences, which is infuriating. He'll even step on a joke. Like, he'll know a joke is coming, and he'll be like, I know that joke, too.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
But that's okay.
Well, you guys have been together for a long time.
We have been together for a long time.
Part of the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Longer than you know, pal.
No, I know.
We don't even sleep in the same bed anymore.
It's fine.
Jason sleeps in a race car bed now.
Have you got any flag?
Hot dogs throwing.
He's still thinking about the window ghost.
Here's one.
That one did throw me off, by the way.
I've got one. Ask us anything. Would a slice of AJ's pizza help Petey loosen up his grip on the stick a bit? If so, I'd like to donate my potential gift card towards a house special with extra Swedish meatballs for him. Thanks. I was struck by Rick Tockett. Saying yesterday that he just needs to go out and have fun with it.
Lean into it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Lean into the tough parts and enjoy it. Embrace it, if you will.
I think, now the guy who always freaks out when I bring up Luongo, I think Petey could maybe take something from the lesson that Luongo learned in Vancouver. Don't take yourself so seriously, man.
Yeah, sure. That's fair.
Way
totally fair.
Easier said than done.
Yep.
Way easier said than done. When you've got... the pressure of a whole city on your back, you're getting a lot of criticism when you take your job seriously and you want to be the best. But, you know, I think you almost have to go into a game with the idea, like, it's not all going to go perfectly. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's something that Rick Tockett has been trying to teach the guys. It's been one of the learning lessons that things are going to happen in a game. You're going to make mistakes. Bad calls are going to go against you. You might have an injury to deal with. Well, yeah, like that's hockey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other team has a say in this too. And if you go out there and your body language is bad from the very beginning because you make a mistake, or if you're carrying those mistakes over for the rest of the game and you're chasing those mistakes, or you're still living in the past or worried about the future, then you're not going to have success.
This one is from Nav in the Valley. Nav from the Valley. Sorry. Hashtag WWE what we learned. I can tell you for free that Bo Horvat's playoff experience is going to end pretty quickly. Yeah, Bo's been quiet. 1 point. Solitary goal through three games. I mean, the Islanders, if there was one that was going to end in a sweep, it was going to be the Islanders to the Canes or the Caps to the Rangers. And the Caps and the Rangers, by the way, play tonight. Rangers have a chance to go up 3-0 there. The Islanders are overmatched in that series. I mean, you look at the shot metrics, and it's not like in the Canucks-Pred series, it was the one game where the shot disparity was gargantuan. It's been all three games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just not good enough. But Bo's there for a long time. I wonder what Patrick Waugh thinks of Horvat, because I know that there's been talk that they're ready to anoint him as the next captain on Long Island.
I wouldn't be surprised by that. Yeah.
He's
been very complimentary of him, Patrick Waugh and Bo Horvat.
Has he? I haven't paid attention at all.
Ryan on the road. The problem with Petey is that he was super fun on social, and then Twitter got mad at him for having fun, and he shut down. Yeah, have fun without social media.
Yeah.
Gotta block out the haters.
Hey, listen, it's tough. I can't even imagine what it's like to go through what hockey players go through in this market, especially when things get tough. And one of the things that I found particularly interesting about Roberto Luongo and kind of why I found him so fascinating is the evolution that he did go through. And you could see it, I'm going to steal a phrase, like you could see him change in real time. Do you know what I mean? Like it was like the very beginning of his time in Vancouver, he took himself very seriously. He took the game very seriously. He got humbled. And now, you know, and sometimes I feel like he's gone too far into like, you know, like constantly making fun of himself. But I'm not going to criticize that because, you know, I think that's if you're going to err on not taking yourself too seriously, because at the end of the day, right, like you're playing hockey for a living. And guys want, and people, I think people want to cheer for people that enjoy themselves and look like they're enjoying themselves and look like they want to play for the Vancouver Canucks.
You talked about Roberto Luongo earlier. That always beckons to goalie controversy talk. So Kevin on the Road wrote this when you flagged it, so you must have been interested by it. So it's an Ask Us Anything. Would you rather have Artturs Shelovs catch fire and carry the Canucks to the conference finals, but also have another goalie controversy next year? So I'm going to go on the premise that one has to follow the other.
I nearly cut you off there.
Why?
I was just going to say goalie controversies aren't that bad. Goalie controversies mean that you've got two good goalies.
If Shelovs...
Unless the controversy is like, which one of these awful goalies should
start
tonight?
Yeah, I was going to say, scares you less.
It could be bad.
Yeah, do you remember the Dallas Stars a few years ago when Lindy Ruff was still coaching them?
It was Kari Lehtinen and Antti Niemi, if
He was like,
them run for so long. Yeah. Maybe just don't put any of them in net and dress to excuse.
But to answer Kevin
on the Road's... But at least they were only $12 million combined or something like that.
To answer Kevin on the Road's question... Shelovs catching fire and carrying the Canucks to the conference finals. I take that 100 times out of 100. You're bang on. If the controversy next year is, do we take this magical storybook goalie or our Vezina caliber goalie?
Yeah, that was awful for the Penguins when it was like Matt Murray versus Fleury and they were winning Stanley Cups. Yeah, like just a terrible time for the
franchise.
We all
felt so bad for them.
The answer is take the success, deal with the crap later. Because that's also fun. It's free content for the Halford and Brough Show. Jack and Poco. I saw this one too. Ask Us Anything. If John Cooper becomes available after Tampa gets knocked out, should the Canucks hire him? I mean, come on.
What?
Well, look.
Talkett's going to win the Jack Adams.
I know.
Did
I read that just so we could get one final Coop-Coop-a-Doop drop? I'm not sure. No, the answer is obviously no.
No.
But.
No.
But.
No.
But.
No.
Eventually.
No.
Maybe. Yeah. Coop's a BC guy.
But.
Okay.
Someday, maybe. But not now.
Okay. I'll say John Cooper's my favorite coach in the NHL. Mm-hmm. I love John Cooper. I think he's done a masterful
Mine job. Is Rick Tocchet. Because I support the home team.
I do
you.
Too. I do too.
Isn't Cooper a dually? Like A-Dog?
What are we talking about? Nationality?
Dual. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thought we were talking about something else. What? Yeah, he is. Yeah.
He grew up in Prince George, but I think he spent a lot of time.
He's the Can-Am connection.
Yeah, he spent
like
a lot of time
Zank
in
Rick Martel.
He spent a lot of time in Tampa.
Yeah, he's been a long time in Tampa.
Of late, yeah.
When we were down in Tampa one year, they were playing the Blackhawks in the Stanley Cup Final, and someone went to the bar that we were. So in Tampa, this is how crazy the market is there. The coach of the team can just go to a random bar after a game and hang out. So I think we were on the waterfront of some tiny little bar with like tiki torches and everything. John Cooper's just hanging out, having some beers. People are leaving him alone. No big deal. Someone went to the jukebox and put Chelsea Dagger on repeat like 9,000 times. I appreciated it because Cooper was sitting there and he's like, you got to be effing kidding me. And it just kept going.
He probably appreciated it too.
It was funny. It was a good, it was a very sly move.
It's like the John Mulaney bit with the Hello Pussycat or whatever it is.
Keep it going. Yeah. And like Cooper, like
Hello Pussycat.
Yeah, like What's New Pussycat?
What's New Pussycat?
Yeah.
Hello Pussycat.
Hello Pussycat.
By my favorite singer, Tim Jones.
Do you remember us marveling at the fact that, it was this outdoor restaurant bar area that was just a few steps away from the rink in Tampa, and Coop was there having some post-game drinks and nobody was going up to him. And this was just a few years after you know, the height of Canucks in Vancouver. And we were sitting there going, like, imagine if AV was just right after, like, one of the Stanley Cup final games, just casually sitting down.
Hot, like, dog at Costco.
Yeah, no, or just like having a drink. Like, how many people would be staring at him or going up and talking to him after the games? And Coop was just there, like, no problem.
I'm going to beat all the listeners to texting this. I literally just told this story.
I know you did, but yeah. You didn't put it that way. You didn't say, like, I was just saying, remembering your story.
Oh, the fact good.
So
okay,
you weren't
good.
Listening to me this time.
I was
time.
Listening to you.
No, you weren't. I was telling you how incredible it was that he was sitting at that table and that nobody...
Just having some beers. And
having
some...
Yeah.
Well, this is great radio.
Yeah. No, I remembered the story. You didn't remember the story.
I think we need a break. The playoffs is tearing us apart.
We got to get out of here for now. We will see you all Sunday at the watch party. A reminder, go to hollywoodtheater.ca if you want to get tickets. Sorry?
I'm not going anymore.
Jason's not going anymore.
You've ruined it.
The Hollywood Theater on Sunday, 2 o'clock. Go to hollywoodtheater.ca. Show Pass will get you the tickets. Finally, before we go to break, I need to tell you that all playoff coverage on this station is brought to you by Sky Avenue Kitchen and Lounge. Discover Surrey's newest luxury dining experience. Experience the richness of a Canadian cuisine prepared by a Michelin-recommended chef.
I'm Mike Halford, and I do all the reads.
Reserve your table today at skyavenue.com. I have been Mike Halford. He's been Jason Bruff. He's been A-Dog, and he's been Laddie. This has been the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650.
They're going home.